Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Good morning, Metroplex. There is no other option, no better place to be than 105.3 The Fan for all of your NFL and Dallas Cowboys draft coverage. How you doing after last night?
Good. I mean, I'm a little delirious, but I'm good.
And Brian Broaddus had y'all in jackets. I thought it was just ties. Everyone wearing full suits?
No, so like we show up in the jackets, and then typically we take them off once we're on the air, but I was running around trying to get stuff and find out certain things to where I was walking in like right at when we were starting. Like, I mean, I'd been there, but I didn't get in the studio until then. And then by that point, I'd already sat down with the jacket on, had my hands on the and I just never took it off because I got stuck on that. But yeah, we have to dress up every time to some extent. And so I was a little annoyed. I tell Brian every year, I'm like, I hate you on this night.
Yeah.
Because I have to dress up like this. But today I'll be able to relax a little bit and I'll be able to get to wear an actual hat instead of showing my hairline.
So you didn't wear the hat with the jacket?
No, I did not.
That would have sucked. I just did a clip-on tie when Broaddus used to do that. And I'm like, why is Broaddus in charge of this? I've been here longer than him.
Me and Zach didn't do the ties. We didn't even put them on. But I did wear the dressy clothes because there was a whole group message sent out from Kyle where he's like, remember, we dress up tonight. I'm like,
I imagine your wife as you're leaving the house and she's like, where are you going? I can't get you to dress up for a fancy steak dinner or an anniversary and you're wearing a suit jacket to talk freaking football.
Yeah, she's like, she just wants me to treat her like I treat Brian. That's all she asks for.
All right. Tyler Booker is the selection. Bobby and I, are you happy? Are you okay with it?
Kind of in the middle of that. Like, I mean, to me,
mid rare.
Yeah, McMillan was the guy I had, like, that would have been exciting. So it's not like that. But out of what the setup is and what's available to you, they are a better football team today than they were yesterday.
And they upgraded how much at right guard over Hoffman?
That'll be an interesting thing to see play out because Hoffman is very much a unit player. Because Hoffman as an individual player is not one of the better ones, but because of the edge he brings and different things he does, he elevates the unit. So he's much better than Hoffman. I'll be interested to see how much it changes the unit totally. But I mean, he's so good and so sound. This is when I had said I'm picking him to be a 7-win team right now, but we got to see how the draft plays out. Booker is like a selection that, coupled with others moving forward, you're like, yeah, that's the kind of thing that moves them closer to 9-10 wins next year. Like, and so they're on the right track to they've got a better shot to be a winning team next
year. Brian Schottenheimer, why did you want to go O-line?
Yeah, you're always looking to add valuable pieces. You guys know how I feel about Brock Hoffman. Rob Jones, a really good football player. It's a physical, violent position that these guys play. You can never have enough. We've all had the growing pains and the different rotations and things like that. So, again, I think it's one of those positions. It's a high-value position where you need guys that have flexibility and they can play different spots. And, again, you don't know how bad you need the position until you don't have it. And the obvious thing that everybody's talked about. I mean, you're in a division with Jalen Carter and Dexter Lawrence and some really, really good football players. And so those are matchups that we look forward to.
I just love, and love is an understatement. I don't have a stronger word that I can think of. Every single philosophical thing that he talks about and that they are talking about right now, hopefully it's just not hot noise like the hot boys from the past. I love it all. I love the culture stuff. I love the leadership stuff. I love the toughness stuff. I love the intangible stuff. I love the identity stuff. And I love it. Love it. Is it going to mean jack squat? Who knows? But I love what they're trying to do and what they're talking about doing. And they picked all of that last night.
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing to realize. Whenever anybody thinks back on, how could you have hired Brian Schottenheimer? And it may fail completely. And I think their process in a lot of ways during in hiring him was flawed. It wasn't a good process. We even talked about it. Even if it works out, it'd be kind of like, yeah, well, it worked out when you picked Dak, but yeah. You didn't really target Dak.
Yeah.
I think it's important to understand, the more you hear him talk, I think the more fans are able to reason, okay, I can see how he sold them and convinced them in a sit-down where they were like, holy cow, we got to have this guy lead our team.
Micah Parsons is probably a terrible poker player because when he does his draft coverage on Bleacher Report, you can see his immediate reaction. And last night, he had some hesitation. He's like, and they started laughing at him. He's like, no, I don't hate the pick. I don't hate the pick. The guy's a stud. The guy's a stud. I don't know who Micah actually wanted, but Micah got pumped when Tyler Booker joined his draft pod.
You had one of my favorite quotes of the entire draft process. You said, quote, I make guys not love football anymore. What does it feel like to see the love of football leave someone's eyes?
It feels great, you know, like football is a child's game. So like people wake up, be like, man, I can't wait to play this football game today. They listen to their hype music. They take all the pre-workout. They get so excited to play football until they come across Tyler Booker. And then when I'm going after you quarter after quarter, play after play, series after series, and I start to see that love leave their eyes. Like that's what makes me love the game. Like I just really love.
Oh my God.
Like,
I like that talk.
I'm gonna play right now.
Yeah, oh, God. Man. Go. Yeah, he got me hype. I ain't gonna lie.
All right.
Play after play, quarter after quarter.
Hey, man, welcome to the team.
Yeah, yeah. He got me ready to go, dude.
Yes, sir.
So I want everybody to think, if you have a bunch of players graded similarly and Tyler Booker's on that plane, and just think about how much the college athlete or the draft prospect has changed in the last 5 years in the era of NIL. And what we're seeing right now of teams talking about entitlement and different things like that. Just think about the impact it makes on a football team when they hear somebody walk in and they talk like that. They talk about like, I don't even care. I just grew up obsessed with football. And man, oh my gosh, my favorite thing about football is watching the love of the game leave somebody else's eyes when I hit them.
What a quote.
Like, I mean, that's the kind of thing that stands out. And that's why when they have everybody graded together, that's why when they go to tiebreakers, it was really easy to settle on. He's the one. All right. If we can't trade back, pick up extra capital. If McMillan's not here, we want that. Because if everything else is equal, but I get that with it, then give me that 10 times out of 10.
Mike McCarthy was on Pat McAfee's draft coverage. You're going to see the vape pen here momentarily from Aiden. Not Aiden, actually. Not breaking Odyssey laws, but he's going to put it up on the fan cam, Twitch.
He looks like a vape pen guy, though.
Aiden?
Yeah.
That was a little stereotypical.
Don't you? Oh, tell me he doesn't, though.
Mike McCarthy with his thoughts on the Booker selection.
Love the pick, Mel.
What?
Love the pick. I'm telling you. No, seriously. I if you had asked me who we'd be picking, this is the way I think it goes. I think, once again, it's a lot of conversations. It's an offensive line that is better today than it was, at the point last year, because they had five young offensive linemen play a ton of football next year. Now you're adding Tyler. So I think you're getting back to hopefully the good old days in Dallas with an excellent offense.
And that's what I was thinking of, the good old days. the good old days there with Frederick and Zach and Tyron. And Pat McAfee has changed all the rules at ESPN. He is sitting there vaping right there on stage. He offers McCarthy a hit, and Mike's like, nah, man, I'm good.
Remember the days of Sean Hannity?
Look at this.
Getting caught ripping a vape pen on Fox News and all, and like almost getting suspended like 8 years ago or whatever that was. It's just a different era now. And yeah, Pat McAfee doing his thing. Could you have imagined if he would have grabbed it, though, and hit it?
Oh, my gosh. And he throws it away. He could say it was just tobacco. Let's say it was just tobacco. But there he is. He's offering it to Big Mike. That would have been awesome.
Mike,
by the way, in the clips that I saw, man, I wish he just cut loose a little bit like that, a little bit more when talking with the media and talking with us. He was very good with us every Friday. But last night, he cut loose a lot more in terms of just the delivery. And I'm going to go and watch a little bit more McCarthy analysis today.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've never heard him talk that long without saying it's just like anything. So it's impressive. I did not hear it, but I know we got tweet tagged in it. So I don't know if you saw it, where I guess McAfee, when New Orleans was on the clock, asked him like three Kellen-related questions. And according to the person who tweeted, said Mike walked around all three of them.
Yeah, according to one of the Tolos that hit us up. All right, you want to feel better about not getting
better?
McMillan? Is that cupcake in here, by the way?
Yeah, it's right there.
Okay.
The condensation's gone.
I'll have the cupcake. Go ahead, put it back on the on the heater. Bobby's so excited to do that. You want to feel better about missing out on McMillan, who Carolina took early in front of you and stunned all the Metroplex? Listen to Todd McShay's pre-draft evaluation on Tetaroa.
I don't trust him.
Okay.
I don't trust, and I have reports, and I know that Jed Fish had, as one scout said, when he was great, when Jed Fish had his foot on his throat. Don't take that the wrong way. Like, obviously, it means like someone who is monitoring and making sure that
pushing him,
driving him.
Correct.
When Jed Fish left town, there was a new sheriff in town, and it was Tet.
Yep.
Tet didn't like to work out and practice hard unless a scout was in attendance. Showed up on the routes.
Okay.
Quitting on balls over the middle field. Didn't think he showed attention to detail. I get offended personally for Drake London when people say, oh, he's the next Drake London. Yeah, no, he's the same size. He makes the same acrobatic catches. Drake was a dog.
Woo! Wow! The flamethrower from Todd McShay towards McMillan's game, Bobby.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical. So here's the thing. It's always important to... Whenever there's changeover at a program, you got to be really careful about why is the testimony of this coaching staff so different from the other? And in either direction, you've got to be leery of the player. Potentially, you got to be leery of the new coaching staff that comes in there. Tom Herman came to Texas. There's a story that people in Austin have told for years. When Tom Herman first came to Texas, he was so upset at a couple players leaving early and not sticking around, including Connor Williams, one of them, that he just basically did everything he could to derail them with NFL teams and just flat out would slander them whenever teams would ask about him. So there's that. But then you've also got Tristan Hill. When Tristan Hill had a coaching staff changeover at UCF, he became a pain and the new staff was right about him. And so you do got to watch some of that. Dallas, one of the areas where fans wouldn't know this necessarily, one of the areas where they're really good relative to the rest of the league is their research. Like, and their investigative stuff and the things they find out about guys and what their character's like. I guess Dallas had zero concerns about him in terms of what kind of football character he had.
A 29-point comeback, an historic comeback for the Thunder last night in Memphis to take the 3-0 series lead. Ja on crutches. Bye-bye, Grizzlies. They're getting swept. The Knicks go into Detroit and win on the road. The Clippers stomp out Denver. And the Rangers played last night as well.
The 3-1 pitch. Swung on, line to center, base hit. Rounding third is Arias, and he will score. The throw by Leote is way late. Sliding in without a tag is Arias, and the A's have come back to win it by the score of 4-3.
Nadell with the call. DeGrom was on the mound, and add injury to insult, Bobby. Kumar Rocker to the IL with a right shoulder impingement.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Luke Jackson screwing it up in the ninth inning is also a bummer. I tell you what, I wasn't watching this game last night because we were doing the draft coverage, but I'd pull up Twitter and I'd see some Rangers updates in there and I was like, oh great, The Rangers hit three home runs in an inning. Awesome. The offense is back. And so that's really all I'd seen about it. So when I woke up this morning and I pulled it up, I was like, oh, let me see the replay and what happened in the Rangers game. And I saw they lost. I was like, how the hell does that happen? They scored three runs. I figured they would have scored more than just three runs, but especially with DeGrom out there pitching. But ultimately, I mean, Luke Jackson's got to stop flirting with danger because you're going to see more of that.
Bobby's day two Cowboy targets are coming up. Vach Lombardi is going to join us live at 8:40 and below the belt as part of our Cowboys coverage. But the number one storyline that was carrying the draft networks last night, what happened to Shador? The commercial-free expressway is next on 105.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit MensTeaClinic.com. That's MensTeaClinic.com.
At 3, The Fan. What happened to Shador? And be honest, what were you saying at your draft party? We were set up at Pluckers with the amazing Tolos who came out. I had Jake Rima alongside me. Glad I told Jake to take the ride share as I tried to pass along a few extra shots to him. And he stayed a little bit longer than me, and he had to be in even earlier than I did.
How many drinks did you have?
What, are you cutting down the music?
It faded out.
Huh?
It faded out.
Oh, okay. I probably had like 3 beers and like 3 shots.
Okay, you did more than I thought you would. That's good. Solid.
I didn't ask for any, and I declined a couple. And then the beers were like bigger, but I like left my last one, like half of it, because it just hit me at like 9 p.m. and I'm like, I'm tired.
That's Kristen's biggest complaint. When we go out and do a station event, for me, she's like, don't like don't pregame. Don't order anything for yourself because you know eventually somebody's going to come by and be like, hey, will you do a shot with me? I'll get, and she's like, and then you end up overdoing it because you've already drank before.
The staff at Pluckers was fantastic. The entire place was packed. Reetma getting on the mic, emceeing. So it was a good time. I wish I had the morning off in order to fully cut loose.
How many drinks had Reetma had by the time you posted that drunken video of him screaming at the crowd?
Maybe one.
Oh, that was sober. Oh my God.
He had props. He had a Fire Nico shirt underneath, and he's like, I was planning on getting the crowd hype, but it kind of tapered off here at pick 20. And I was like, yeah, man, people got to work the next day, man. Cowboys pick at 12. I think he was expecting a rager with like glow sticks to break out with the chicken wings there at Pluckers. But fantastic setup from Pluckers. And thanks to every single Tolo Artemio. Man, he was bringing the shots nonstop. All the different Tolos that stopped by. Vanessa made the picks as well. All right, before we get into what happened with Shador, and I want to know at your draft party what you were saying to your group of friends about the fall and about the drop. Were you thinking there's a smear campaign? This is unfair. This is ridiculous. Or were you getting some type of satisfaction out of watching all the shots to Shador's party with Legendary in the background and all the hats that could draft him, and Deion Sanders looked like someone had taken his dog and he was half falling asleep. We'll get to that in just a second. But Tyler Booker is the newest Dallas Cowboy. Jerry Jones, I love the post-draft press conference right here on The Fan because Jerry will usually tell you what they had cooking and what the other options were so you can feel better or worse about it.
Yes, what was there, we didn't get a trade. We were there. Nolan's on the board. Booker's sitting there. I'm just saying. And then what's best for this team? Well, I'll tell you what. We had that one nailed. We were, and Steven will get into that if we can hear him. He'll get into it seriously. But we had a good plan to trade out if we had takers or had offers to trade out. So. That was a part of the plan, but boy, we really, again, I'm sorry not to give you a straight answer, but this guy is such a leadership person and such a dynamic person in his approach to football as a leader of a team within a team, the offensive line. So that really caused him to get our attention yesterday when we were looking at his likelihood or the possibility of him being there.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
And that trade was Houston, possibly.
This speaks to how much power, though, the head coach does have in Dallas. Because this has typically not been... You're basically hearing the Brian Schottenheimer philosophy or theories coloring the way that Jerry's talking about things. Line item number one would not have been that stuff, I don't feel like, in the past when talking about a player. You know, the leadership and just the intangibles and the way that they set the culture. But that's clearly something that Schottenheimer has established, as that's what's important to him. And he thinks that everything else will flow down from that. And that if that's broken, nothing else will work, no matter how good everything else is. And it's been effectively sold to them. And they've, not that it needs to be sold, quote unquote, but I mean, it's something that they have bought into.
A lot of people were wondering whether the pre-draft press conference about offensive line was a bluff. I kind of honed in on Jerry saying it's more about the offensive line than the running back. We did not have a running back problem last year. And when DeMarco had his years and Zeke had his years, we had fantastic offensive lines. And again, Jerry is an offensive lineman himself. But that set off people and fans in the Metroplex for some reason. I don't understand. Given the retirements we just saw in Tyron Smith and Zach Martin, I don't understand all the outrage over an offensive line selection. This is the number one unit on your football team, in my opinion. If Dak Prescott has any quarterback in the National Football League with time, in my opinion, can hit receivers. I remember those days early on Dak when it felt like, oh my gosh, all day long. If you give a quarterback all day long, he can throw to above average targets and complete passes. I don't care who the running back is. If they have lanes, they're going to average 5 yards a carry, and they're going to get to the second level. It all starts there. The Philadelphia Eagles manhandle everyone. You now have Jalen Carter, the Eagles D-line in front seven, and now the New York Giants. We can make fun of them all we want. We can hope that Jackson Dart is a bust. What does the New York Giants front four and front seven look like now? Abdul Carter.
For the moment, Thibodeau, Burns. Thibodeau,
Lawrence?
Yeah.
You need to block them. You need to protect your $60 million quarterback, and you need to have running lanes for whoever this back is going to be. I just don't understand the premise. It's a sports, it's a philosophical foundation for football that the offensive line can start it and end it. So I'm not understanding.
We've got to come up with some name for the psychological effect that exists for, like, we've talked about before. There's nothing Nico Harrison could do. Now, he shot himself in the foot the whole time, but there's nothing Nico Harrison could have said or done that would not have been criticized. Going to find a way to do it. Cowboys have been at that stage a lot throughout, and I think they're just there right now. There was almost nothing they could have done yesterday. Like the McMillan thing would have helped. That's not in their control. He got taken ahead of him. But after that, it's like, I don't think there was anything they could have done yesterday that people were not going to start complaining at them for.
Well, Golden is a popular local thing, all right? I mean, I guess we could have the exercise of going through the names on the board that were available to them that y'all would have wanted. Who was your pick at 12 after McMillan went to Carolina? 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Is it going to be a Mecca who went 19? How about Tampa Bay loading up at receiver? My goodness. Is someone going to be expendable there? Was it Golden? Was it Warren? Was it a Mecca? What were you getting on your feeds as the consensus?
So that's the thing. That's why I feel like it's kind of convenient the way that they're criticizing it, because it's not consistent.
Yeah.
It's people going, well, you at least should have taken Tyler Warren, or you should have taken Matthew Golden. You should have taken Emeka, or you should have taken the other offensive lineman. You should have taken Josh Simmons. You should have, like, there's just a steady stream of complaints where, to me.
Well, let me remind everyone of DFW draft judgment the day after, because I remember these Fridays.
Tyler Smith,
Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, Micah Parsons. You're not going to win the argument with me that the majority were happy with those selections. Yes, I said Micah Parsons, because at the time we thought he was playing linebacker. Travis Frederick, for damn sure, when Travis joined us for his first interview, was like, yeah, I'm kind of surprised they took me here, okay? We all want a Manziel, or many people want a Manziel with the hype. You certainly didn't want another boring guard in Zach Martin, and then you just talked about Tyler Smith. So wrong, recent wrong, and it still doesn't have anyone be like, let me pump the brakes a little bit, because maybe my opinion could be off.
If they picked Guyton this year, like if it was this year that they had selected.
Now, you were right about maybe Taco and Mozzie. Y'all were maybe right about that.
Yeah, and I think the one area where they were considered untouchable for a long time was the draft. The fact that the last two have been Mozzie and Guyton, and I still think Guyton's going to be really good. People have forgotten about all the highlight reel practices in Oxnard where Guyton was stonewalling Micah in those practices.
Yeah.
It's just he's still developing. Mozzie, I understand. Mozzie, you've probably missed on that one. But I think the thing that you look at here is they've lost that benefit now to where anything they do, even in the draft, has reached the point where it's going to be criticized. I can't remember. I saw somebody yesterday on Twitter say they've just gotten to the point where they're not very good at this anymore, talking about drafting. It's like, okay, I guess that's where we've gotten to. But if you want to say you don't like the offensive line pick, I understand it. The tweets I got yesterday and the messages I got yesterday saying a bust, this dude is, he can't move, blah, blah. It's like, okay, if you don't know the player, or you're lying about the player. It's one of the two, because he's not, that's the consensus. And then do not throw back at me, well, Marcus Mosier's consensus board of media mock drafts at 31. I don't give an F. That's not what I care about. The consensus among teams in the league was Tyler Booker was a top 20 player. He was going to go in the top 20. That's where people thought he was going to go. He went where he should. A lot of people said, fine, take whoever, but you should have traded back. Think of everybody that's available right now to you. The players that went from 25 on, and then so anybody available today, and then these last players were the ones that went, Jackson Dart, James Pierce, the edge rusher from Tennessee, Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia, Tyleek Williams, the defensive tackle from Ohio State, Josh Connerly, tackle from Oregon, Maxwell Hairston, corner from Kentucky, Jahad Campbell, linebacker from Alabama, Josh Simmons, tackle from Ohio State. Those players right there in that group are, before the draft, I didn't hear anybody talking about those players as better than Booker. Not like hardly anybody. A couple people liked him, but they all have issues. James Pierce is a massive red flag player.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got issues with all of them. To me, they tried to make a deal. They couldn't move back that far and sacrifice the capital. So they said, we're going to trust our process here. This is a whole group decision of scouting staff, coaches, everybody else agreeing that this was the best move.
Yeah, guys, on the fan text, 214 from pick number 12, wanted the team just to trade back in general. You can get a lot of trade back here on the fan text. 214 also says maybe they would have wanted to pick Walker or Pierce over Tyler Booker. 817 says Matthew Golden would have been their pick. And 214 says they would have traded back for Luther Burden.
Here's the thing. So I'll play out both of them for you. Jalen Walker. They picked Jalen Walker. You know what the narrative is this morning? I don't trust these defensive coaches to turn Jalen Walker into somebody. He's a linebacker. They can't figure out if he's a linebacker or an edge rusher. That's somebody you've got to know you have the right coaches to put that guy in. You need good coaches to bring that guy up. I've seen Matt Eberflus before. This is the same guy who would talk about, oh, you know, Tyrann Mathieu and other guys, they're not scheme fits. And I'm supposed to expect him to be Dan Quinn for Micah Parsons with this? No. James Pierce. If they pick James Pierce, oh my gosh, I read something on PFF where they talked about his hips were tight. And he's a red flag guy. Why is he down here at 25? If this is where why are we taking this guy? You're going to have
what
that
about Golden?
Consistently. Matthew Golden, what you would have gotten there, you would have had people that would have been excited about that one, but you similarly would have had people talking about Matthew Golden as he's not polished. He's not a finished product because he's not. He's not prepared to just step in and be a guy. Nick Harris said last night he thinks Green Bay is a much better situation for Golden than Dallas is because he would be asked immediately to be something that he's not right now.
Golden was the Longhorns like clear cut number one.
Yeah, and he stepped up in bigger games, but I mean he had two 100 yard games at Texas. Otherwise, most of his games were like 40 yards, and he stepped up in big moments. But that's not a finished product. I like him. He was my 10th overall player. I would have been fine taking him, but there was questions there, and you naturally would have split it up by people who like Ibuka more. And they would have said, well, I don't like Golden because of that. So the narrative was going to be angry, 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 regardless, because that's just where the Cowboys are. And it's fine. They've earned being in that position.
Yep.
I'm just saying, be rational when you talk to us about it, because I'm telling you, that's a good player, regardless.
I thought the number one storyline of the night was Travis Hunter and the Browns-Jacksonville trade. But all the networks, of course, decided that the number one storyline was a guy who wasn't even picked. Will Chambers? No. Shador Sanders, what happened?
We all didn't expect this, of course, but...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I feel like with God, anything possible, everything possible. I don't feel like this happened, you know, for no reason. All this is of course, fuel to the fire. And under no circumstance, we all know this shouldn't happen. But we understand we're on the bigger and better things. Tomorrow's the day. We're going to be happy regardless. Legendary.
I just got a text, by the way. Cowboys did not love Golden short leg, short height. So from someone that I trust, for what it's worth. Now, I'm going to be honest, and I feel a little grimy doing this and saying this, but I was laughing at the Shador storyline. I was getting enjoyment out of it. I was. I'm being honest. I was sitting there, and I hope the fall continues. It's funny. And I like his answer right there, and you know, I'm not wishing bad on the career overall, but this is a combination of things, all right? When you burst into the room as the flashiest, loudest one, hey, I'm going to look at you and be like, yo, is that the life of the party? Oh my goodness gracious, that's the fun one. But when you continue to be that, we may get a little sick of you, and there are other people in the party looking at you being like, just shut up. Oh my gosh, why do I have to be so loud? Why do I have to be so cocky and arrogant? What Deion and Shador and Travis did at Colorado, I was really impressed by. They made noise to where they had to be talked about. But when you have to be talked about, you become a polarizing topic. And when you become a polarizing topic, what happened last night and what they're dealing with many laughing at them, Bobby Belt, it comes with the territory. So this is what helped and caused Colorado to get on the map. But unfortunately now today, this is what comes with it, with people having Shador Sanders as the number one negative storyline along with Deion.
Yeah, look, he's what they really need to do and sit back and evaluate is they're going to say this is hate. This is just getting hated on. Yeah. These are the haters.
And you got to factor in the networks and the insiders. This becomes a, you know, a nasty personal attack of why are you doing this to this kid? And then you have the network with the overcovering of it. So all those things, when something is covered nonstop, Cowboys outside of the FW, people are like, I'm sick of that. I'm sick of it.
Let's think back to
Shador should not have been gotten that amount of coverage last night. I understand why they did it, but I'm like, yo, man, why are we talking about him? Like, Travis Hunter's on the clock, and they had like a Shador highlight package.
Yeah.
Like, with a top three pick. You want to get to 21 at Pittsburgh? I get it. You want to get towards the end of the round? You want to get toward Cleveland? Okay. But I'm like, why is Shador Sanders on this screen when Travis Hunter is being selected?
Look, the loud nature or the very like confident and brash approach, yeah, it's you're right, it helps in a lot of ways and it can hurt in other ways. But like, let's just think of similar quarterbacks. Caleb Williams was very brash. Caleb Williams did a lot of in your face stuff. Caleb Williams was never questioned as being anything other than the number one pick. Baker Mayfield was brash, undersized, loud, cocky. Baker Mayfield went number one. Take it over to the NBA. Lonzo Ball and LaMelo Ball had a loud, brash dad who was involved in the... Lonzo Ball went number two, LaMelo Ball went number three. If you're talented enough, they'll look past it. If you're that loud, maybe you're not that good. You're good. I think he's good. He's not as good as he thinks. And he was never...
You had him as a second-round pick.
Yeah, but he's my top quarterback. I think he's better than Cam Ward. I do. And I'm one of the few who does. Wow. But, like, I do think he's better than Cam Ward. I think physically Ward's more impressive. Shador's a better processor to me. And to me, that's more important at the quarterback position, is how quickly you can actually process what's going on in front of you. But this is why I had to set Will Chambers straight. When we were in that bar and he was trying to tell me Shador's been the number one pick for 2 years, I said, no, he's not. And we got in a big fight about it. And then by proxy, you and I, on October 21st, 6 months ago, similarly, got in an ugly fight about it.
It's when it's a bad take.
But you're not the king of sports. You're newer to this than Will.
What
Will has more skins on the wall than you
what
do.
He was,
Will's been around in sports talk longer than you. So you to become the arrogant ass emperor of sports talk radio and takes.
That's not the point.
That is the point.
No, it's a point about what's right or wrong. No, God, it's a point about what's right or wrong. About just what does value mean? When it comes down to who's in plugged in one way, who's plugged in another way, and just the idea of like, what is the actual value of the player? That's what it's about.
You're a bitch. You act like a little bitch.
Dump that, Peyton. We're not allowed to call people that.
Go ahead. Dump it. I don't care.
And I'm just a tattletale about it at that point. Dump it, Peyton. Sean said a word he's not supposed to.
The next thing you need to take to your therapist, if and when you find the next one.
Sandler has just shamed me out of that.
Is this being right thing. Like, this all is, it really is your drug.
Yeah, I love it.
Trying to be right, trying to go find every clip to prove it. I saw you pull up old tweets towards one of our Tolos, Wade. It still doesn't justify you walking out and messing up a good day drinking. But
that's true.
You did end up being right. Now, I didn't say you were going to be wrong. My problem was with the fight that broke out at the bar and you storming out and disappearing for the rest of the afternoon. Well, I never said you were going to be totally wrong.
Well, and so this, and
but Will, that's a fat L. And I texted Will last night to trash talk him. And he goes, well, I wasn't the only one. That's not the point. It doesn't matter if other people were wrong. You were dead wrong about it. You got to own it. Just like Bobby was dead wrong about this offensive lineman. Well, you're not dead wrong yet. But right now you're looking wrong after this lineman that Nick Harris and Zach Wilchuk liked and that Albert Breer said could be a Cowboy possibility. Ended up going in the first round, Gray Zabel, number 18. And you had him as a third rounder, but you can continue to brag about Shabir.
I'll address that really quickly. I was not, my grade of a third round player is not to say that's where the rest of the league sees him. Just similarly, like when I say Tyler Booker's a top 20 player and people try to tell me, well, no, he's 31 on all these boards. Like, that's not the point. The point is the league has him here. And that was actually where the whole fight with Will had started. Was Will kept saying he's been the number one pick for 2 years. And I kept saying in like media articles, he's been the number one pick. The NFL has never thought of him like that. And he goes, well, what do they know? I'm like, well, they're the ones picking him. I'm not saying they're going to be right, but they're the ones picking him, so he will not go number one. And that's what I couldn't get through to. I probably, if I hadn't had drinks, I probably could have avoided the fight because I would have explained it better.
Yeah.
But I think I was buzzing a little and it wasn't coming out the right way, or I wasn't clearly explaining
it. You were slamming your vodka glass on the table.
I did, yeah.
But look, you ended up right in the argument overall, which I know is the most important thing to you, even over your children today.
It is. I mean, that's my children are things I'm right about, too. That's why I love them. But I would say that, yeah, the Gray Zabel one, they were... I didn't say he wouldn't go 18. I just said if they picked him at 12, that would be a reach that makes me mad.
Yeah, but you said you'd rather have McCarthy back than that.
Yeah, I would.
It'd be that crazy. Peyton, what were you thinking during the Shador fall? Be honest. Everyone has to be honest at 877-881-1053. It'll probably be a 50-50 split because that's what a Sanders topic is.
I mean, I'm still in the group that likes him. I think he's pretty good. I thought he was a first rounder. I think going into yesterday, I said I would have been shocked if he fell out of the first round. I was still thinking because, you know, I get caught up in the whole, you know, what does Vegas think? Pick 21 around Pittsburgh. I was like, okay, like that's fine, you know, into first round. But man, after Pittsburgh drafted and they got to the late 20s, I was like, I think he's really going to fall. I was stunned, honestly.
Bobby, where did you think at one point it was going to happen last night? Everyone in the world, pluckers of all the predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh Steelers, number 21, they go with a defensive tackle out of Oregon. Did you think the Giants were moving back for him despite all of our Jackson Dart intel and homework yesterday? And what happens today with Cleveland at the top of this round?
I didn't know which spot it would be, but I did think he would probably go at either 21 of the Steelers or go to Cleveland or the Giants trading back into the first round. I thought somebody was going to do that. I didn't think he'd be sitting to the second round. I knew it was possible, but I didn't think I figured somebody would just say, I want the fifth-year option on him. Let's go ahead, trade back into the round, take him at the very back end. Lamar Jackson got picked 32nd for the reason of the fifth-year option. But this has been, he's been compared so many times throughout this process to Geno Smith. And this is exactly what happened to Geno Smith, too. Like, as a player, he's been compared to him. Geno Smith was supposed to be a top-five player coming out of West Virginia. I think Dane Brugler had him as his number one prospect that year. And Geno ends up falling all the way out of the first round, fired his agent. It was this big, messy thing. And then he gets picked 39th. 7 picks into the second round by the Jets. And so you've got Cleveland with 2 picks early in the day here. They're picking, they got the top one at 33, and then they're picking the 4th pick in the second round, 36. I'm guessing he's going to be one of those.
I wanted Dion to be the head coach here badly, but you had told me the NFL is not going near him. And I thought of that last night in connecting. I'm like, okay, is this a little microcosm of what the NFL also thinks of Dion? Because I'm attaching Dion to Shador. I don't want any part of it. You got to be John Elway. You got to be great in order for me to deal with Dion's open commentary for the next 10 years on my program. I don't want to deal with it. I don't. He's an all-time great. He's a legend. He's doing nice things at Colorado. I don't want Deion Sanders' mouth attached to my football program with his kid. And I'm convinced that it wasn't going to be mute. Deion wasn't going to be quiet. He's going to sit there and throw out little shots nonstop. And that's baggage.
He hasn't. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been quiet yet. How many times do we hear him say he's going number one or he's going to the Giants? He's already talked in those terms, and he's already borderline threatened people along the draft process of I'm going to expose who you are, who I know you're spreading this bad stuff to teams. I'm going to expose who you are.
Look, and Shador apparently interviewed badly. Maybe he got the bad advice from Deion. Look, if they are 10 or below, tell them to kick rocks. And maybe I don't know. Maybe
no, I mean, he flat out, there was a team that approached him, just wanted to have an informal at the combine just to talk to him in passing after his workout, and he refused. And I mean, it was a very, I don't want to say which team, but it was a very prominent, well-respected offensive mind that he basically told, yeah, jump in a lake, I don't care, dude. And they were like, okay.
All right. Albert Breer said, worst quarterback interview that a coach had told him that he had ever been through. So, look, this isn't out of nowhere. And when you're cocky and you're arrogant and you throw offensive linemen under the bus, and the best meme, though, was his number retired at Colorado with the 2 next to it. And he said, I didn't realize this meant this is where he was going to be drafted. Oh, that had me laughing. But I'm just being dead honest. I was enjoying the fall. I was enjoying the fall and the shot to Deion and the misery sitting there in that room. And I wanted Deion as Cowboys head coach. So I'm just being honest.
I'm going to throw
you. It doesn't help when in the background there is a shoe rack that's lit up that says legendary at the top.
Yeah.
Apparently with all the different hats of teams that he thought could take him. Look, I mean, come on. It's optics too. All right? If you're great enough, they would have overlooked it. So it's not some smear hate campaign. All these teams are whores. Forgive my language. I'm sorry if kids are in the car. They'll sell out and sell their soul and do anything. They'll sign Deshaun Watson to win. If he was good enough, it's not a smear campaign and some conspiracy, because someone will go ahead and do anything to try to get W's.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we just ran through some of those names. Caleb Williams, Baker Mayfield, all these different guys that had similar type of cockiness or confidence, or however you want to label it, and different factors like that, and they still got picked where they did because teams believed in them.
But there's no way he gets past 4 today, right? Here's the round setup. Cleveland 1, Houston. Do you know if Cleveland likes him? Cleveland 1, Houston 2, Tennessee 3, Cleveland 4, Raiders 5.
Raiders have liked him, I know. Cleveland has not been totally clear, but the Raiders have liked him during the process. The Saints are the 8th pick in the second round. Like, I mean, there was talk.
Tom McShay said they won't draft him at 40 either.
The Jets are picking at 42. They're 10 picks in the round. Do they do it? And then, of course, you get 44. You roll around to the second round, Sean. No, that's not going to happen. But I would guess he's one of these Browns picks.
Why wouldn't it happen here?
Because I don't think that they're going to have him graded anywhere close to the best player left on their board.
What's your point?
I think they're going to have several players that they have above him at that point.
How did everyone, or all right, at what point in this round today does he fall to where you're all in that draft room going, oh my gosh, this is getting crazy?
Third. If he gets through to the third round, then it's
third round.
Yeah, if he gets through to the third round, it's like, okay, teams have been like scared off by him is what's happened here. He must have been so bad in the interviews that teams are just like, you're toxic and we don't want to be around you.
Give me everyone's, by the way, Bobby previews the rest of the draft at 8. Vach Lombardi will join us at 8:40. He is apparently in love with Tyler Booker. Give me everyone's reaction in the room. Like, a pick or two before. Give me everyone's reaction when McMillan went off the board, and then everyone when Booker was the pick. Everyone.
Everybody was sad when McMillan went off the board. That's who I think we all had agreed we wanted. But we also, it was more just like, we didn't know it was going to be Carolina, but it's like, so that kind of gave it a gut punch. But you were expecting McMillan to go off. It's just when it happened, you're like, oh, I didn't think it'd be right there. Okay, that kind of sucks. So that was disappointing. But I think pretty quickly, everybody just started figuring out, is there a trade back scenario? And if not, everybody had kind of coalesced around the idea of, I think we were all just like, Golden or Booker, we'd be fine. Everybody agreed pretty much that if they got Golden or they got Booker, they'd be fine. When they picked Booker, Vach and Zach were pumped enough that like Zach came in with these Miller Lights and was like dropping them. So, I mean, Zach really.
They just drink weekly on G-Bag, so he's used to it.
Zach really likes Tyler Booker. Vach really likes Tyler Booker. Broadus is like everybody there. Nobody dislikes him as a player at all. And that's where I think it's like, I understand, again, if you think it's an inefficient use of resources, but the player himself, he's good. If you're doubting who the player is and trying to say he's not going to be a good pro, you have not watched him, or you've bought into some weird like corner of the internet that's talking smack about him. But the reality is he's a good player. And everybody there was like, yes, this is a good pick. They're a better team right now. Universal, everybody was happy.
Here's Wolchuk's scouting report. Versatile lineman that could play multiple spots. Wide build with a strong lower body. Dominant in the run game. Knocks people off the ball. Can mirror linemen. Able to get to the second level, but not always the smoothest athlete in space. Plays with an attitude. Sustains blocks extremely well. Difficult to get away from once he is locked on the motor. Plays well versus power. Has to stay inside. Would not want to play him at tackle ever. Physical. So that's Zach Wolchuk with the scouting report. So now give me the line left to right.
It'll be left Tyler Guyton. They established that last night. Tyler Guyton, Tyler Smith, Cooper Beebe at center, Tyler Booker at right guard, and then Terrence Steele at right tackle.
Yo, that's a lot of pedigree, man. Choppy would love that amount of pedigree. Like, if that can be realized, if that potential can be hit, damn, yo. I mean, I'm excited about that.
They had, again, when we talk about the athleticism with him, and look, Tyler Booker mentioned it himself. We heard it in the clip earlier about the pedigree stuff. He's like, I went to IMG Academy. That's one of the most prominent high schools in the country. I went to Alabama. Now I'm going to the Cat. Like, I'm built for this. I've been trained to handle this.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal to them. But when you talk about the athleticism, and some people saying, I saw somebody on the YouTube earlier that said, well, let's see what happens when you speed things up times 10, and now that athleticism is going to catch up to him. It's like, guys, he's on the interior in the SEC going against Jalen Carter at Georgia. He's going against Jordan. Like, he's going against the Georgia defensive lineman. He's going against all these South Carolina defensive linemen that are available in the draft, and he's handling it. He gave up one sack in his college career.
Look, all I heard about was Mozzie's strength and athleticism, so I don't give a crap. It's a sexy thing to fall in love with, like a 40 time. But watch these highlights that Aiden puts up. But we shall see. Vach Lombardi, loving the pick. He will join us at 8:40. Let's get set for today and the rest of the weekend. Who is on Bobby's big board, and who do you want with the Cowboys' second round selection? Heard right here on this station. That's next. With Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.